am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in, and how we'll raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, o'er the city will be rolled when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing gathering in. Then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. And I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in.
Good afternoon. Let's have Brother Michael come up for prayer requests.
Good afternoon, saints. It's good to be here. Prayer request from Brother Ray. They're going to... Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Going to kidney doctor tomorrow, so pray for him. I will be well. All right. Hello. Sister Julie, she said, thank you for everyone for believing with me that Mama would make it to her doctor's appointment Monday with no trouble. God delivered beyond my prayer. It went seamlessly. It was actually even a pleasant outing. Amen. So thank the Lord for that. Amen. From Brother David Marlowe, pray for my wife, Maggie. She is showing major signs of dementia, so just pray for that situation. And also one from Brother Ryan. Please pray for my coworker Jeff Cotton. His wife passed away earlier this month. Also, they're planning to go to Myrtle Beach tomorrow and return Thursday, so pray for traveling mercies. And we all have unspoken prayer requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for the testimonies and all the good you've brought to us, Lord. And pray for those, you know, who need prayer, Lord, and the kidney doctors and the traveling, Lord, and the coworkers and all those things, Lord. I mean, you just heal the people who need healing, Lord, and help people, Lord. And just thank you for what you've done for us. And lead us and guide us, Lord. Lead us in the service, Lord. Have the right attitude, Lord. Pray for Brother Wade. Pray for all those, Lord. Pray for all the prayer requests, Lord, in people's hearts and minds, Lord. And thank you for all things. In your precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Let's sing Because He Lives.
God sent His Son, and they called Him Jesus.
to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, oh, I can face tomorrow. Brother Zach, come up for offering.
Let's all go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, thank you for this day, and thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord, and continue to do for us daily. I pray that you would just bless this offering wherever it may go, and help Brother Wade as he preaches this afternoon. In your precious, wonderful name I pray. Amen.
Let's sing, Because He Lives, the chorus just one more time. As Anna and Rachel's Sunday school class comes up for their special.
Because He lives, oh, I can face tomorrow. And because He lives, oh, all fear is gone.
sing. Let's sing He is Lord as Sister Frida comes up for her special.
And peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is. This glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole. It is nailed to the cross, and I bear. And Lord, hey.
Your soul this afternoon. Let's sing the chorus, "Be It Unto Me," as Brother Boyd's Sunday school class comes up for their special.
Be it unto me according to thy word, according to your promises, stand secure and carve upon my heart the truth that sets me free according to your word, O Lord. Be it unto me. Little girl was lying there, people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord, and some began to say, "He's in the house, dead lives to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be. Now there is hope, there's no more doubt. Praise his name, praise his name. He's in the house."
We were like that little girl, dead in all our sins. Jesus touched this heart of mine. He gave me life again. I am just a house of clay, but ever since that blessed day, there's a life that shines on me for all the world to see. He's in the house, death has to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be. Now there is hope, there's no more doubt. Praise His name, praise His name. He's in the house, death has to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be. Now there is hope, there's no more doubt. Praise His name, praise His name. He's in the house. Death has to flee. Now there is light where darkness used to be. Now there is hope, there's no more doubt. Praise His name, praise His name. He's in the house.
Sing the song Something Keeps Holding Me, page 264 in the Sproul book. The trials of this world, we're getting closer. The pull I felt was more than I could bear. And I was on the verge of giving over. And the strength within myself just wasn't there. But something keeps holding me, and every day I see He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. He's guiding me constantly and giving me victory. Oh, He's a reality, 'cause something keeps holding me. And Satan laying before me his temptation of his desire to steal away my faith. But I have found in time the revelation, the strength I need to keep me in His grace. Let's stand and sing. Something keeps holding me. Oh, every day I see He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. He's guiding me constantly and giving me victory. Oh, He's a reality, 'cause something keeps holding me. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart and have Brother Wade come up. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Oh, I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up,
shining in the light of your glory.
Good God, buddy.
Your power and love as we sing. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Look around, see him in the Word. And you see him in the people. That's what we love more than anything, be able to see him in the people. Man, good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be back. Everything went well. We all did great. Everything was fine. Delta decided to keep my luggage for a little while, but that's okay. We were preaching on adoption while we were out there, and I was telling the Sunday school class, don't know about a trip over that. I've never been to a meeting, and not saying I had anything to do with it, but I did. But I was there. God used us. But I've never seen three preachers that didn't no more than sit down. We didn't, Brother Joel Brown and Brother Darrell Ward and myself, the 3 days we preached. That's all, Richard. It's just that. And if you would have scripted it, you couldn't have scripted it any better than Brother Joel Brown starting with just a simple sermon. And Brother Darrell Ward, best I'd ever heard him preach, on the very same line, and we never discussed it one time. And then we came in Sunday and tried to put a lid on it, put a cap on it, so people could understand. And they were really we're amazed. But you know what? We're not amazed at God. That's what he does. He does that anyway. He does it all the time. I was thinking, you know, we limit God to a lot of things. Friday before last, when we left to go, June and I left at like almost 7 o'clock in the morning. Our flight was at 11. But you know what Atlanta traffic is from 7 o'clock to about 9 o'clock. Everybody in here has either been stuck in it or been a part of it, right? Never hit my brakes. One time till we got in the airport, right? Phenomenal at the amount of no traffic. Zero. Now, Friday this week, I was listening on the radio. Traffic jam downtown. Wreck on 285. Wreck near the airport. Traffic backed up an hour and a half to 2 hours. I said, God, before the foundation of the world, you told those people not to go where they usually go last Friday, but you let them go this Friday. You say, God can't. What do you mean God can't do that? God orchestrated the whole thing. It wasn't man, because I'm telling you, it was phenomenal how no traffic between 7. We left at 7 o'clock driving into Atlanta. You know how they're around Jimmy Carter and all starts cramming up? And no. gone. Right down to the airport. Now, when we got to the airport, the devil was there. As soon as we walked in the door, the Delta ticket line, of course, we'd already checked in, but we had to check in the baggage. It was backed up all the way into the carousel. But still, we still got through. Everything was great and fine. So we thank God for that. But I did. I thought, man, how many times have you been somewhere, though, and you just ask God to help you and you just zoom right in. And then the next few days you look and you go, man, what a traffic jam that place is down there. Well, see, there was two of us that needed some help. So God gave us a double blessing, because I'm telling you, usually you're hitting your brakes and slowing down, but we were right on into the airport, and God blessed us. Like I said, we had three good services, and the Lord really showed us some things and had some real good fellowship. So God bless you. Thank you for loaning me out to them. So Brother Chris and Sister Joanna said, tell you hello, and God bless you. And they're coming out here sometime in October, but he's definitely coming to preach for us the Watch Night service. So just keep him in your prayers. Just remember all these other ones. It'll be a while before we speak anymore till about September. So Lord bless you. And we got in September, we got Matthew Braves coming the first weekend in September. So we're going to be on vacation for a little while, but we'll still be working. So God bless you. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Revelations 8, verse 1. Today we're going to speak on the seventh seal, part 7. What is next? Okay, everybody wants to know what is next. Well, you know what? We don't have to wait till tomorrow to get the newspaper. We've already read the newspaper. We already know what's going to happen. But we want to be made aware of what's fixing to happen, because we don't know everything, but God gave us a message, and he gave us a prophet, and he gave us the Holy Ghost to what? Lead us and guide us into all truth, not some truth. He said he would do that into all truth. So we thank God for that. So let's bow our heads before we get started. The Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this great word that we're sitting under, Lord, that you give us an opportunity to even hear what prophets down through the ages and many, many Christian people down through time has wanted to stand in this moment. And Lord, here we are. Lord, we stand here at the end of all things, the end of time for the Gentile church. And we thank you, Father, that you've given us spiritual insight. You've given us, Lord, tomorrow's news. We've already read the paper, Lord, and we know that we win, but there's a journey that we have to go through, called life. And as Brother Dale's talking, we have to grow up. We have to grow up in God. We have to grow up spiritually. Father, I pray that you would help us today to do that, Father. You be the active participant, the one do the speaking, the one do the hearing, and the one do the revealing, Father. Bless the sick ones that are not here, the ones, Lord, that need help. We pray that you would bless them, lift them up in their spirit, Father. Bless each one of us as we stand today, Father. Just a bunch of needy people. But Lord, you said you'd provide all of our needs. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us and take care of us. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelations 8:1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, as we get started, I want us to, this will probably, as we were talking this week, last weekend, I told them Sunday morning, I said, this is one meeting that I'll promise you one thing. All three preachers were in their right mind. We were all left-handed. Brother Darrell Ward, myself, I didn't know Brother Joel Brown was, but when he started writing things down, and being a lefty, I know the mannerisms of a left-handed person. So I knew that he was. So I got up Sunday morning, I said, do you know one thing for sure? We were all in our right mind when we were speaking to you this weekend. So I hope we're all still in our right mind anyway. Amen. God's not left brain to right brain. He is the brain. But that was kind of funny that we're all three of us were left-handed preachers. So, but we look in this book of Revelations, we're coming to the end of something. But like I said before, when we come to the end of something with God, it's not the end as man thinks, the end. Because man has, for years and thousands of years, has looked at the end of the world, the end of time, the end. You see all these movies and things about the end time and the end. You know what? That is the end for them. But it's just a beginning for a Christian. It's just the part that you and I have to realize that we're set here in time to do something. But this is just part of what we're doing. We're going to something much greater and much more, and it's always eternal because it's of God. Amen. And we're standing here in this time element, and truly it is a struggle. We try to survive. We try to do the best we can. We were talking about it this past weekend. You know, it's hard on people. And sometimes we make it hard on ourselves. Amen. We make it hard on ourselves because we don't do what God wants us to do. But you know what? If you come back, if you, like Brother Dale was talking about being backslid, listen, if you can't, you're not backslid if you're lost. You're lost. Because the prodigal son was a son. He was born a son. He just went wayward a little way and then he came back, but he was a son. And that's the way you and I are. We look at these things and we think, boy, these people are just, no. Give them time. God give you time. So let's give them time. All these people that are on this wall, I pray every time I stand over there and pray, there's a wall right here at my Sunday school class full of people that have not come to the Lord. You remember we put them all on the wall? Let's not forget those. Those people need salvation. So we look at this wall and we see this wall of people that needs to be, some of those needs to be struck off because they need to be here. Amen. They need to be brought back to the Lord. And you know what? They will in the time. Because remember, God has the most patience of anybody I know because he's already saw the... How in the world, if we saw the end from the beginning, we'd want to hurry up and get to the end. Because we're going to be living in a glorious time. But we got to see all this other stuff that's going on. And we look when we see the seals, I want to kind of, one more time, I'm not going to draw much... As far as the church ages, we should already know we're in the last church age. We should already know we're in the last message that the Gentile church is going to get. No, there's no big message preacher going to jump up here and be the final voice to the Gentile age. We've already had that. We have already had. Now what we're doing is we're breaking down and helping, being servants. We're helping everybody kind of get in the right channel. So we can get out of here because I believe God does use a fivefold ministry to bring the people to a place so you can see who you are, not who I see who you are, that you see who you are. When the bride realizes who she is and what she's doing here, bride realizes who she is, not preachers. Bride realizes who she is and what they're doing here. They'll be an invincible army. All right. So I think we're coming to that place. All right. I just do. I believe we're coming to that place. So let's read this. We've read these quotes before, but I saw a little more, maybe a little on it this weekend. This past weekend was a wonderful weekend just to, you know, mull over the things that was preached there. And like I said, I enjoyed them. The brothers really did a really good job, but we were all speaking pretty much on adoption. They didn't call it adoption, but you can call it whatever you want to. If you're preaching in the same line, you get the people in that same attitude. Then you see that everybody needs to grow. Some are going to grow different. Some are going to grow bigger. Some are going to grow. Look at Michael. How can you not look at Michael? He's 6'800". I remember when he was a little bitty child. I wasn't going to say baby, but he was a baby. But now look at him now. Good grief. He's what, 6'5", 6'7", 8'9"? He's still growing. Why? Because he's got a gene in him to grow with. His genetic makeup is a little bit different than mine because mine got me at about 5'11", and that's about it. Stuck there. Not going any further. Same way with God. The only thing is you and I, boy, don't do that. You and I, don't you think I see what's going on back there? Boy's going. Put his name down. I'm taking name. But we do all grow in different stages. We all have different growth spurts because we're human. Same way in the gospel. And as we were talking downstairs and we were talking this past weekend, you can stunt your growth. You can do that yourself. That as a free moral agent is helps me more than anything. You can make yourself available for the word or you cannot. Okay? It's just, it's up to you. And like Brother Dale said this morning, being a born again Christian, that puts you in the body and puts you in line for all these things, but you can stop it at any moment. You can quit eating, and when you quit eating, what happens? You stunt your growth. You don't become not a human. You become a malnourished human. You become somebody that you look at all these, and I hate to see that overseas. You see the little children and all their growth being studied because what? They don't get the nutrition. All right? They don't get the nutrition. If they don't get the nutrition, then even a young Christian can what? Just drop and sit there and just not die, but be so malnourished you don't know what you're missing. But oh, what about a bunch of vitamins? Somebody comes from over here and goes over there to a little country in Africa and takes some good food and good water and good vitamins. Why? You see the kids just start growing. And they're more happy. You and I would be more happy. The more we get closer to God, we should be more happy. Amen. So you say, you look at these seals and you think, well, I hope, like Brother Bob said a couple weeks ago, I hope that we tried to make this so simple that it's really so simple. Some people are waiting for this great big moment, the great crescendo, you know, of the ending of the story. Or it's already here. It's already here. You're living it. I already said it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the brothers really enjoyed, because they really hung on Sunday after Sunday morning about all these things that we as message believers have thought when this happens, this will happen. When California sinks, this is happening. When this happens, this will happen. Listen, all that external stuff. President, woman in the White House, we get all these quotes and we start quoting them. We've been wrong. We have been 50 years wrong. Brother Dale said it today. It comes from right here. No one will lay hands on you to take a body change. No. It's going to come from what you got already inside of you. Amen. So it's going to come from within. Nothing external is going to cause you. Listen, if California, what happened at 9/11? I'm a little bit off the subject. Now, maybe a little long today, so just get with it. On 9/11, after 9/11, what happened? Churches filled up. Right? Day of prayer when they can't even pray in schools. Day of prayer, national day of prayer. It all become, why? Because of the disaster, something happened. You and I are not that way. Christians do not react to a disaster. Because you ain't a Christian if you have to wait till something happens. Hello? If you have to wait till something, well, we're waiting on what? Brother Brown said, waiting on you and I. Adoption time. I read that quote Sunday. God's waiting on you and I, adoption time, where God can pour into us His fullness. And like I've always said before, Dwight Moody said, God will fill those who are not full of theirself. Right. Amen? So that's our problem. We've been so full of ourselves, we ain't letting God do His work. We ain't let God work His way out. So let's look at this just for a minute. The subject is, what is next? Let's just kind of background a little bit. And let's just see. Let's go to number one. We've read it before. But this is the whole basis of the seals. Because he breaks the seals, number one. He breaks the seals, reveals, gives us his inheritance to his people. Now, let me ask you a question. What is redemption? Redemption is not replacement. Right?
Right.
Redemption is something has fallen to a position and then God's going to bring it back. Listen, man can't bring it back. God will bring it back. You know why? Because I like what Brother Darrell Ward did, and he took a piece of paper and see that piece of paper is eternal. This is eternal life. If you can make it, just look, just go with me. This is eternal life. Okay? You say, oh, it's got a beginning. It's got, forget it. This is an example. Okay? This is eternal. You can't make eternal here or here or here. Eternal has to stay the way it is. Right? But now what happened in the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Eden to get this plan of redemption, because you know what? God saw the plan of redemption before the foundation of the world. Knew how he was going to save every one of us and knew who would be saved and who wasn't. But now remember, that wasn't put into place until it happens on earth. God can think about it in his mind, but it had to materialize. Remember, he stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why didn't we just go right straight into the future home? Because it had to be a plan of redemption. So God had to redeem us back to be the Savior, the Healer, the Redeemer. But in the Garden of Eden, what happened? Adam didn't lose eternal life, right? He lost his fellowship. Eternal, still eternal. Doesn't matter any way you take this, eternal is eternal. Now, what is redemption? It's bringing it back to here. Not here. Not here. The matching pieces. He was preaching matching pieces, and June leaned over and she said, he's preaching matching pieces that your daddy preached in 1995. But that what he was talking about, because remember, Adam didn't lose his eternal life. He was a son of God. He lost his ability to continue on in eternal life. But this man right here, what is the inheritance he gave us? He gave us an inheritance that we never had, and that's eternal life in our body. Right. Eternal is always eternal. Right. And remember one thing's for sure. If you're a part of this, you got to be a part of this.
Right.
Doesn't matter how you pull it apart. It's like I said, told him Sunday, I used this analogy a little bit more. I said, now look, Brother Darrell didn't take this and throw this down and say, now this is redemption. That's not redemption. Because redemption is putting it back together, eternal to eternal. So now, the problem is we lost our fellowship. Eternal's always stayed eternal. And this is Christ. This is Jesus Christ. This is Christ. This is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Savior, the Healer, the Redeemer. Put it all in this. But it goes right back to one word, and that's eternal. We fell from eternal life. Now there's 6,000 years of a gap. Amen? But when we realize who we are and what we're doing here, this is what we're doing. We're trying to put this back together, this together. Humanity.
Right.
Human.
Right.
I came from God.
Right.
And I'm going back to God.
Right.
When the bride begins to say, I and my Father are one, and these other things, the shuck will pull away.
Right.
That's what our problem is. We've been either like this, or like this, or totally something different. You can't vulcanize. You can only vulcanize rubber to rubber. That's what our thought is we're not rubber. I'm just telling you what God said. When Brother Brown said, I and my Father one and these other things, the shuck will pull away. Why? You bring it back together. It took Christ to come, Jesus Christ to come though. And remember, he's the only seal. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed. Until the day of redemption. There's only one seal to be broken. That's that seventh seal, which is the whole plan of redemption. Because like Brother Dale says, once you get born again, your plan of redemption is complete. But you still got a growth development to come to if you want to continue on. Those who he has justified, he has already glorified. Listen, at Calvary, God put the pieces back together. Remember, Brother Branham said, he said, your body was redeemed. Israel was redeemed at Calvary, but it has not been applied yet. So we're down here in time trying to apply it back to where we go back to eternal. Because remember, if your soul is eternal, then what part of eternal is it on this piece of paper? It's the paper with no tear. It's the paper. So what does the seals do? The seals didn't bring eternal life back to the people, not in their soul, not as the new birth. The new birth was from Acts 2.38, or Acts 2. Before Acts 2.38, because it was Acts 2. Right? Eternal life coming back into the soul of man was preached, and redemption was in the process all through the six church ages, but they couldn't come to that last little part that you're at now, that your spirit can be clean and that your body can be clean. Your body is what we're, listen, the only part of you that's eternal is your soul. But you know what? Brother Brown said if Adam had not have failed, what would have happened? His body would have been made eternal. It would have been the whole three parts, body, spirit, and soul, because that's what we're going back to. Right? Redemption is not replacement. Redemption is not replacement, and redemption is not this. It's right here. He's putting the pieces back together. He saw us before the foundation of the world completely, totally redeemed. The whole plan, everybody that was going to be in it, he saw a vision. We were talking about this morning in Bible, in Sunday school. He saw a vision. Now that vision has got to be complete because like I told him downstairs, Brother Darrell Ward was, we were talking about this and he brought out a quote where Brother Branham said he's talking about, you know, seeing a vision and how he, Brother Branham had faith in that vision. Brother Branham, he reads the quote. He says, "Lady, your name is Sister Isabella Del Mundo, and I see you live at 142 and a half street." Now, working with the post office, you can't guess that. Because working for the post office, if you only have half numbers, it means there's one driveway and like two units of an apartment sitting here. One's 142 and one's 142 and a half. He was literally looking at that woman's address on the door. He wasn't guessing that. And he said, "I see you inside your house sitting on a bed groaning with a headache." Now, what's Brother Branham doing? He is seeing, I told him this morning, you know, Brother Branham was the greatest scientist that ever lived. He had high definition television way before man did. I don't think he saw that vision in black and white. No, he said, "Your eyes are blue. You got on a green shirt. You drive a red car. Your house is painted red or blue or green." He tells him why? Because God was showing him the vision either that had already happened or that was fixing to happen. Remember he told Brother Bill Dow, he said, "I see me and you shaking hands in front of the tabernacle. You will rise up from the bed." You see how that is? That you say, "Well, boy, that's wonderful." It is great. But that was all temporary. The real vision is what God had of us that will never go away. Before the foundation of the world, what we're trying to do now is get you to see that vision that God's already seen up here in his mind, and now it's being transformed down here. You say, "Brother Wade, where are you going with this?" All right, let's go to the breach. Because these seals, like I said before, you can make a list that will not fit on this page of what people thought the seals were.
Right.
Yep. A If you've been in the message long enough, you've heard some of them. It's been this and that and the other. What? It's all been external. Some man, some building, some doctrine, some place you got to be, some they made it everything but what it's supposed to be. And that's Christ in you. Christ doing the work through you. Because listen, the plan of redemption is not for trees and cars and houses and plants. The plan of redemption is for me and you. Amen. And then everything under that comes up.
Right.
Amen? Because when Adam fell, the whole nature fell. Romans 8, Brother Dale's been reading Romans 8. The whole world's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? Because that son of God let them down in the beginning. Amen? Adam had to start fending for himself. Amen? But here you and I are coming. Every mystery of the Bible, each one of these seals, the whole thing together, the whole mystery, lays right in these seals. Every mystery of the Bible lays in these seals, and the seals cannot be broken until that time. Now remember, it's a book of redemption. Keep going. All the way down to the bottom. From Genesis to Revelation. So now we've started where it broke from. The break came in Genesis. The real, the actuality is when Adam sold the human race and it split us apart. Amen? But now in Revelations, we see it come back together. Amen? We'll get a little thought on that in just a minute. From Genesis to Revelations, a complete plan of redemption is revealed in these seven seals. Oh, it's an important time. God help us to get it. Now remember, in the opening of the seals, even going through the seals, it shows your redemption and my redemption, but it always also shows the redemption of Israel, the fifth seal Jew, the sixth seal sanctification of the earth, and us going into the millennium. Amen? And then the seventh seal is we got one quote. It's revealing Christ.
Right.
All right? So now let's go to the next quote. Let's get to a place right here. Just hold that thought just for a second. So now what is redemption? Redemption is not replacement, right? Redemption is not replacement. A complete plan of redemption is revealed in these seven seals. So everything we need to change our body is in those opening of the seven seals. But now it's a process. Like I said before, it would be real easy for us to just say, I'm born again, boom, I'm changed. Oh my, that would be simple. But you know what? It wouldn't be a journey. It wouldn't be a plan of redemption. It wouldn't be a plan. And Brother Branham said in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed that Christ, God had a what? A plan and a purpose, and he was going to see. See, you and I can make a plan and a purpose, and sometimes it don't come together. But I promise you, God's thoughts are eternal. Whatever pops in his brain, it will happen. Amen? And nothing will pop into his brain that's not going to come to pass. Amen? Because he's God. And he knows all things. What a great God we serve. But it's not replacement. So now what happened when God comes to a place where he comes down to earth and Jesus therefore received the vinegar and said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He preached 3.5 years. The whole plan of redemption is preached in those 3.5 years that he was on the earth. Amen? Amen? Now we see all the other things of the Old Testament saints and the different ones, but Jesus, it's all connected to that one man. Jesus Christ. It's all connected to him. He is, if he didn't come, you can forget the rest of it. You can forget any of it. Because he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Alright? So now when Jesus came, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I told you we'd get to it finally. But what happened? There was silence. He really didn't preach anymore. He even told Pilate, he said, I don't have anything to say. In other words, Pilate kept saying, are you the Christ? And he said, you say. Are you this? He said, you say. He never preached them another long sermon. Now, when he came back, after he took a death, burial, and resurrection, he came back And all he done was just told them where to go and what would happen going to all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's what he told them. Then he was gone. He didn't do it. That wasn't a lot of preaching left. Amen? So we look and see that we think that we say, well, the devil, well, world says, the devil silenced him. But no, he had just started his work. Because his real work was not him himself being on earth. He came here for you. He came here to release that life called Christ. Read it right here. Next quote. Number three. It's the rising of the sun. He is the one who opened those seals. So remember, he opened the seals. He is those seals. For the whole word of God is Christ. And Christ is the seals that was opened. What is the opening of seals then? Revealing Christ. And as I said before, where is Christ? He's in you. We don't have Jesus Christ walking around on earth today that people can point and say, there's Christ. He disappeared 2,000 years ago. He said, the world will see me no more. But you'll see me because I'll be with you and in you till the end of the age or the end of the world. Amen? So see, that's to me, like Brother Dale's always said, Jesus preached six seals. So the seals have been opened, have been preached, except for number seven. Number seven, though, is when you get a revelation of who Jesus Christ is and where he is. And where he is. There's your seventh seal. That's the one seal. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. Because remember, we're going to read this scripture in a minute in Matthew where he says about Christ being over here and being over here. We read it before. We're going to read it again. But let's see what revealing Christ. All right, let's go to the next one. The Greek lexicon tells us that Christ means anointed was the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, we know for a fact he was the Son of Man. The Son of God lived in him, but we're the ones that got the revelation. Okay? To anoint, consecrating Jesus to the Masonic office and furnishing him with the necessary powers for his administration. Now, listen. Romans 8 tells us we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. I want some class participation. Y'all can sleep tonight. Good grief, people. Come on. Just try to stay awake. Pinch yourself. Let somebody else pinch you. That'll really make you mad. Maybe keep you up, though. Christ means anointed, was the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, we know he was the Son of Man. Could go all the way up. So if Jesus was given, Brother Brown told us we were little Messiah. See, we had a man come that I was telling him Sunday, I got a new pair of binoculars. My old pair was 8x30s, which means 8 magnification with a 30 millimeter lens, which is a lens about that big. You're limited to that, but you can see. Man's had a binocular the whole time. And see, remember, with binoculars, you see one, you look through two, and you see one. So I got some the other day. I upgraded my revelation. I got some 10x42s. That means that's magnified 10 times with a 42 millimeter lens, which brings more light in, and I can see 10 times what I could usually just see 8 times. You and I have got this unlimited sight now. Glory. I'm telling you. But you know what, though? As best of a binocular you can buy. All you people know this, look through binoculars. Doesn't matter how good. You can pay $2,000 for a pair of binoculars. If you move it just one little click, right, Brother Danny? You can see images, but you don't see clarity. By Brother Branham coming and giving us clarity, didn't change the Word of God. He gave us clarity of what's already been told us He turned that binocular just enough to where we can see now in the high definition, where the denominational world and the different people, even Luther, Wesley, even Paul says, I look through a glass. Now, what's a binocular made out of? Glass. I see through a glass darkly. Why? He was a prophet. He could see things, but he couldn't see the clarity. Now, we got Brother Branham walks up. He tells a lady, he says, I see you in your home. It's 142 and a half so-and-so street. You got on a red dress. You're sitting on a bed. What? That was clarity. That was the mind of God. And what happens to you and I? When the mind of God comes to a group of people, it gives them clarity of what's been many people are going to be saved. Many people are going to be born again. But they're not going to have the clarity that you and I have. The clarity that you and I have is we can read that map. And the letters are not blurred. And if you look at a map with no glasses on, if you need glasses, what does it look like? Looks like a spider web. And you might get off on three different roads before you get on the right one. But if you put on glasses, you get clarity. And you can see what road you're going on. That's what the same way with you and I. We are so blessed that we have clarity. Because as Jesus stepping into his messianic office, you and I have stepped into a messiah office. We're little messiahs. So what he gets, we get. Romans 8, let me read it again. We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So whatever Christ got, he was furnished with the necessary powers for its administration. See, it wouldn't have been anything if Jesus would have just come, like Brother Bram said. He had to go to that grave and come out. He proved who he was by coming out of that grave. All during the 3.5 years. Listen. The religious world called him a devil. Yes, right. The whole 3.5 years. Yes, right. They called him a demon. Right. But he was what? Furnished with the necessary powers. You and I have been furnished with the necessary powers. Brother Dale's going to get into them because you know what? That little button without character. Now listen, the button's not satanic, it's the way you use it.
Right. That's right.
Alright? But power with character is fit to rule. Jesus Christ had power and character. You and I are going up that statue of a perfect man to get character, not to get the Holy Ghost. No, it's to use what you already got. Because remember, we're trying to get these pieces back together. Enduing Christians with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's what Christ is. That's what Christ came to do. And then you say, well, then that means that Christ wasn't revealed until the end time. No, it's not true. Remember? They were looking at something. Jesus said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen? Okay, if that's all, that's all. That was their little box that they had to work in. Remember I read that quote several Sundays ago? God give every church age a box. And you work in the box you're given. Well, now listen, what is our box? Our box is adoption and body change. Our box is not to be a good Christian. You should do that already. If you never, listen, these people never heard of the prophet that had the Holy Ghost. Amen? And lived good, clean Christian lives. And went to church. What a strange thing the bride does now. We go when we want to. Take it back to the Bible, folks. All right, let's read this right here. Colossians 1 verse 26 is even the mystery which hath been hid from ages from generations. Now this is the Bible. It's been hidden from ages and generations. Now this is Paul talking to the first church age. Maybe not even knowing, because remember Paul was already dead right? Before John went to Patmos. So I don't know whether he knew of a Ephesians, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira church ages. I don't know that he did. God may have revealed it to him, but he never put it in the Bible. John put it in the Bible when he went to the book, when he went to Revelation, when he went to the Isle of Patmos. But now watch what Paul's telling us. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Who is that? That's us. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Now listen, don't get me wrong. I am not a find out what Israel's doing person. Because that's not to me. Find out what Obama's doing or find out what Clinton's, I don't care. Did I say Clinton? Sorry. I meant Trump. I'm telling you, y'all are looking at external. Listen, I know what you're doing. We're human beings. You're wanting something to happen so you can say, aha, told you. It won't happen because God's not going to let you do that. But what is the mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, as this book of redemption or plan of redemption hinged on Jesus Christ, it hinges on you to finish it. You say, what about Israel? Israel can do zero. Zero. Until we leave. Zero. Now sure they can do things and plan up to it. But they do zero. They get no promise in this Gentile bride leaving the earth. You may have individuals, but I'm talking about the country of Israel. Amen. Now, Brother Brown tells us to watch Russia. He doesn't say anything about watching Israel. He says, watch Russia. Okay? I have my thoughts on that, but that's okay. But you know what? They're just thoughts. It has nothing to do with me. Whatever Russia does, let me tell you something. Let me finish my thought from a few minutes ago. You and I, it's going to happen to us first. Whatever little piece of eternal that we click on, then that's what something's going to happen outside. What we're doing is we got it totally reversed. We think we can find something on the internet or some good book or something that'll tell us we're bride. Right here. This is the only place you're going to find out whether you're bride or not. It's right here. We already know what Israel's going to do. We even know who's going to preach to them. We know that. So why worry about it? You better worry about getting Christ in you. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. What's Paul telling you? You gotta listen to preaching. Teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. All right, let's go to the next one. This is Matthew 24. And except those days should be shortened, should no flesh be saved. For the elect's sake, who is the elect? We're the elect. For the elect, thank you. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. You say, boy, we've been here a long time. God's fixing to do a short work, folks. We either going to be in or out. We're going to get left or we're going. One of the things. All right. Then if any man shall say unto you, now watch. When you say, if any man shall say unto you, now somebody is going to talk to you. Some preacher is going to tell you, lo, here is Christ, or there. Now see, there you can go for your list. Well, now Christ is going to Israel. Christ is this. Christ is in the seventh under virtue message. Christ is in the two souls or the polygamy or in the what? All that external stuff. What did the Bible say? Believe it not.
Right.
For there shall arise false Christ. and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. In other words, even John, when John was on Patmos, when the Roman Catholic, or when the mother whore comes up in front of John, the Bible says he admired it. He admired it. And the angel had to turn him away and say, that thing's full of devils. It almost caught John looking at it because it was so beautiful. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, so it's not just one person, they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert. I was just out there, there's nothing. It's hot. He is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber. Now that sounds good. Behold, he's in the secret chamber. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now listen, no one knew where the Son of Man went. They didn't know who he was when he was here. And they don't know where he went. And down through seven church ages, most have not known where he went. Now sure, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory, all the way down through the six church ages and into this church age, right? They didn't get a different Christ. They got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They got the new birth for their box. But their box had no requirement of adoption. Their box had no requirement of taking a bride and making a wife out of her. They had no promise of a body change. But our box does. That don't make us no better. But they without us are not going to be made perfect. Amen. So as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west. I like that because it came from where he was at over to here. This is the western country, right? So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So now where is the Son of Man? Right here. I am. I'm part of that box. Matthew 17, verse 5, we read this many times, we're going to read it again. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Now, what is this? Brother Branham uses this on what? Hear ye him. This is the adoption part of your journey. Everybody okay with that? Yes. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise. And be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. As they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, says, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? Now see, these disciples had read Malachi 4. His disciples had read Malachi 4 because it's in the Old Testament. Malachi 4 says that, behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So they thought that Elias, and still now in Israel, I preached on it a long time ago, they're looking for Elijah. They know Elijah has to come on the scene before Christ can come to the Jews. All right? But see, they got some old news. We got an updated part of the news. Because this Elijah they're looking for, this one is our Elijah. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. Now remember, he goes on down and they think he's talking about John the Baptist. But now remember, John the Baptist did not restore all things. So that's not the Elijah he's talking about. So this Elijah must first come and restore all things under the Son of Man ministry. The Son of Man, Brother Branham stood one day and he said, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Why? They put him back in a tomb. They can't get him off a cross. Oh, yeah, sure. Christ died 2,000 years ago to save me. Well, where is he now? He's in heaven. They just don't realize he's right there in them if they're born again. That's why I said, you see, the Bible says nobody knows where the Son of Man went, just like the lightning going across the sky. No, but you and I do know where he is. They maybe have looked for him for centuries and hundreds of years, but we have found him. Glory. Amen? That ought to make you happy. It's like Brother Darrell Ward said, that ought to make a Baptist shout. Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. See, there's nothing wrong with a television if you tell the right vision. Tell the vision. Television. Listen, that's what Brother Branham saw. Man got, sure, man caught on to what God's already been doing. Brother Branham said, God, what? Man has broke into God's laboratory. What? To create a television. But now remember, a television, Brother Branham explains it, a television only does not produce a picture. It only shows the picture that's already been developed. How that God saw you before the foundation of the world in a vision that's got to come to pass. There was just one little commercial in there called sin. Amen? There's one little commercial, one little interruption called sin. And you know what? God can't stand sin, so he had to what? But he didn't do away with the vision. Amen. It was already recorded. Yes. You know, we have these things now that you can record things. You know what? It had to be produced somewhere. Amen. It only captures what's already been done. Right. When Brother Branham saw that, he would look at those people. If you saw that that tape or that one that they did, not 20th Century Prophet, but the one when he was in Chicago. You could see him, you watch him, he turns his head. What? He's watching a television. Yeah. Brother Brown told us to get rid of ours. But you know what? He told us to get rid of the wrong one. Right. If you would have been in the right vision, you'd have been okay. But that's what he done. He was looking at that person. And he just looks off to the corner. What? There's a portal opens up right here. You say, how do you know that? Well, what's he looking at? He said, I see you. He's lying if he wasn't seeing. Now he sees this person here. But there's a television screen pops up right here. In high definition. And says, I see you as a young woman. And you have a car wreck. You're thrown up in the air. Remember he tells that woman, he said, you're thrown up in the air. He's watching it. He's watching it on a television. And it's something that's already happened. Because it can't fabricate. If it fabricates something, it's wrong. And it could be wrong. But it's not fabricated, Brother Larry. It's already been put in what? The mind of God. You're already put in the mind of God. You're a part of the mind of God. Tell the vision to no one. Until. Now see, he tells them, don't tell nobody. Why? You know what Jesus is telling them? You're not going to understand this until the Son of Man comes back again. And when did he come back? In our day. The Son of Man message, just like it was when that man standing there, the same message is here today. In its clarity, not in a Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism, not in a Trinitarian doctrine, no, clarity. Because when Jesus was standing here on earth, there wasn't a Trinity. He was it. And the early disciples knew he was it. Remember, it took to the third church age before Nicaea said, no, it's three of them. Because Brother Branham was here to restore the faith of the fathers. Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. Now, what did he do? He restored us back to the faith of the fathers. Right. All right? Everybody okay with that? So what did he do? Let's read this right here. Number four. Trying to do God a service without it being his will. Now, God has a provided an original way to do things, and he'll never do it contrary to that. The box. All right? Now, he promised in the last days what he would do, and it sent them, us, the message. And this message would have the same identification as Elijah had, as Elisha had, as John the Baptist had, and it would turn the hearts of the people, not to the denomination, but back to the original apostolic faith, back to the Word, how these things have been vindicated. So remember, when we look over here in the first church age, we know one thing's for sure. That was the faith of the fathers. That was the original message. That was, there wasn't a denomination. There wasn't a two soul. They hadn't got the doctrine all messed up yet. They were starting. Because remember, grievous wolves comes in. Even in the first church age, that white horse rider rode in that first church age. But he wasn't predominant. It was just little sayings. Then it made its way on up. But Elijah was to turn us back to that and call out a bride for his age, right? For this age right here. I'm going to put our age. But now, remember, Brother Branham just wasn't sent to us to take out a bride for him. You understand what I'm saying? Daddy Seymour had a message that brought out a bride. Amen? The one-eyed black man, they had a message that brought out a bride. If they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they're bride. That's why you're going to understand me one day when I tell you I'm not degrading Brother Branham, but there's going to be billions, I say millions of bride that never heard of William Branham. Bride, but not a fully mature bride that's never heard of William Ann Branham. He came to do two things. How many times has this been preached? He came to what? Turn us back to the original faith of the fathers. Get rid of all the denominations. Not to the denomination, but back to the original apostolic fathers, back to the Word, how these things have been vindicated. Now, this is in 1965. All right? How then in the sounding of the last angel, Revelations 10, days of the seventh angel, these mysteries, it's all been, why did the Methodists do this and the Baptists and the Church of Christ and Jehovah Witness? Now, watch. Now, he's going to take it up a notch. Because he come to do two things. He come to turn the hearts of the fathers back, the children back to the fathers. Back to the original, no eternal hell, water baptism. Everything was what? Turned back. But now remember, that doesn't change your body. It didn't change theirs. It did not. It did not change their body. Them mysteries will be revealed in the last day when the seventh angel's message, when he starts out doing this. Now, I want to clear something up real quick. I know most of you believe it, and so do I. There's a lot of people in this message believes that from 1947 to 1963, you're not supposed to listen to that because he made so many mistakes and he was all this and all that. Heard it before. Right, Aaron? Heard it before. But now from 63 to 65, he was true. And you know, like Brother Dale said, the Son of Man came and straightened Brother Branham out. No, it was a progression of his message. It was a progression of his ministry. All right? Because he did two things. Turn the hearts of the children, babies, babbling baby, Pentecostal babies, to the faith of the fathers. Amen? And then come to do something else.
Right.
Amen? See, when he began, not when he starts out doing this. Now, when he started doing this, he was bringing out what? Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal. And listen, to be real honest with you, they might have all not went to a message church because they wasn't any at that time. They probably went back to their Methodist and their Pentecost and their... But that first part of his message was to bring them out and get them born again. Amen? Bring a bride out during that Pentecostal age coming through. Hello? Hey, wake up! Grief. I'm telling you. That's why a lot of us, you can say what you want to. I like preaching somewhere else. Because they will be attentive and listen and amen and sometimes shout. You know why? Because it's not old news. I mean, it's old news to some of you. It's not old news to them. Some of you sat there like a bump on a pickle. Who said that? Aaron did Wednesday night. You sat there like a bump on a pickle. Take a pickle out and look at it sometime. Look at the bumps. It's horrible. Like I told them out in Arizona, I said, y'all can watch the Ten Commandments for 3 hours and never get up and go to the bathroom. 3 hours. Oh, we watched the Ten Commandments the other night. Boy, that was so good. Where's Rebecca? Brother Gary Adkins, bless his heart. I miss the guy. We all miss him, but we're going to see him. He'd sat there and he had watched that thing so many times. I was over there one day and he was watching it and he was saying it before they said it. He was saying the lines of the whole movie. Have any of you ever decided to do the scriptures that way? But we can sit there for 3 hours and watch a movie and never go to sleep. You know why? Because it excites you. If this don't excite you, we got some growing up to do, folks. We think we got it all. We think we don't have to hear. We think we just, well, it's just Brother Wade and Brother Dale. They say the same thing over and over again. You're going to get left here. You're going to get left here. When he starts out doing this, but when he begins to sound his, not when he starts out doing this, but when he begins to sound his message, see, not the years in preparation. From 47 to 63, he was preparing. He was turning the heart of the babbling Pentecostal babies, Methodist, Baptist, whatever you want to say, turned them to what? Back to the original word. But that didn't do them any good as far as changing their body or even getting them to adoption. That got them born again. Which is fine. That's okay. I told them out there and I'm telling you, this church, the ministry in this church, I am saying it because I know the ministry in this church. The ministry in this church is not getting a bride ready. Boy, you wake up on that one. God's coming after a wife. Watch this. I'll prove it to you right here. Anderson, let's go ahead, brother. Let's go ahead and insert that quote. The one I inserted. Let's go to it. The one right before 1 Thessalonians. Watch this on the first seal. Now listen, this is his new ministry. This is 1963. Now watch, he said it would be known in the last day, but it comes forth in a church symbol. Do you understand it, church? Church. It comes forth in a symbol of a church that they know there is a seal, but just what it is yet, they don't know. Because it's a wild horse rider. And it only is to be revealed at the last day when this actual seal is broken. Broken to who? Not to Christ, but to the church. Yeah. Notice now, oh my. That just makes me tremble. Something happened.
Right.
He'd been saying, church, 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 church. That just makes me tremble.
Yeah.
I hope that the church truly understands it. See what I mean? You people, watch him now. I'm going to call you bride. There is not another quote that says that in this whole message. That's the only quote I put in, call you bride. And that's the only quote that comes up. I'm going to call you bride, see, that you'll understand it. So the bride is the only one that understands the first part of his message. And him identifying that it's only to the bride now. It's not to the church. It's to the bride. Because watch. Now watch him continue on. Let's read this one. The voice is a thunder. The voice came from where? From the throne where the Lamb had just left as intercessor. Intercessor for who? And where is the throne? Now he's standing here to take his position and his claims. Now who's he claiming? He's claiming us. But where does it come from? But the thunder came from the inside of the throne. Thundered out. And the Lamb was standing out here. Oh man. Talk about a revival. I just read that a few minutes ago. I had to put this in. And the Lamb was standing out here. And the thunder where the Lamb had left the Father's throne to take his own throne. Now what is our promise in the seventh church age? That we would sit in his throne. As he sat on the Father's throne. It was the Father's throne down through seven church ages. Now, this is the throne that he's always wanted to sit on. He called you bride. But I'm going to tell you something. From that point on, it was my responsibility and your responsibility to mature it into a wife. Because in Revelation 19, it says his wife has made herself ready. His wife has made herself ready. You take the analogy that Brother Brown used about the armor meatpacking man. Okay, they haven't got married yet, so you can't use it all the way, but I'm going to use it as far enough. Remember, he goes away. He said, one year from this day, I'll be back. Now, listen. That woman that he thought so much of, and he was going to wait 1 year to marry her, he was going to wait 2,000 years to come back and get her. Now, I'll promise you one thing. She didn't go sit on the porch and wait for a year. She got ready. And listen, she had to do it by herself. Because all them other sisters said, he's not coming back after you. He's coming back to get us. She said, whatever. He told me. He told me that he said he's coming back for me. And I'm going to get myself ready. I'm not going to be. And she wasn't in the barn with slop up to her knees. When he got back, no, she was standing on the porch. And here he come. Because she had made herself ready. Amen. Now let's show this in Jesus' ministry. Back up, Brother Anderson, I'm sorry. Let's go back to number four. Like I said, we're going to be another 20 minutes, so just deal with it. We'll go outside and talk about everything else for another hour or so. Because remember, this God has a provided and original way to do things, and he'll never do it contrary to that. See, that's why we can depend on the Word of God. We can depend on Brother Brown's message, because he gave us the roadmap, and it's not going to change. It's not going to change. It's going to happen exactly the way that he said it was going to happen. Now, he promised in the last days that he would. And it sent them, us, the message. And this message would have the same identification as Elijah, John the Baptist. And it would turn the hearts of the people, not to the denomination, but back to the original apostolic fathers, back to the word, how these things have been what? Vindicated. How that in the sounding of the last angel, in the days of the seventh angel, these mysteries that's all been, why did the Methodists do this, the Baptists do this, Church of Christ, Jehovah's Witness, all do this. Them mysteries will be revealed in the last day when the seventh angel's message, not when he starts out doing this. Remember, there's one quote, and I don't know if I have it or not, where Brother Brown says, not in the healing campaign. Listen, the healing campaign, what? Got their attention. You don't catch fish with just bait. It's got to be a bait and a hook. So the healing ministry will be the bait, but the hook is the bride getting ready. Because you got to have that hook to what? Amen? Brother Branham was catching trout. He was catching them. Not when he starts out doing this, but when he begins to sound his message. So see, he's sounding a message that's brought it to a bride, and he says in 1963, now I call you bride. Well, now everything after that, it's already bride. It's already bride. If you're born again, you're already bride. But to fulfill Revelation 19, to get to come back after a wife, there's got to something happen. Not the years in preparation, but when he begins to sound the message, these mysteries then shall be revealed, and here they are, not knowing them, and you people are a witness of that. Number five. Works as faith expressed, 1965. But remember, Abraham wasn't in Sodom. He was already called out. And there was one stayed and talked to him. And the one stayed and talked to him showed him a sign. With his back turned, he said Sarah was going to have that baby that he had waited on, amen, with his back turned. And he called it God Elohim. Now, that's where people put Brother Branham so close to God. Because remember, I think Sister Cleta was telling they were at the marriage and divorce. She was sitting there when he preached marriage and divorce, right? There was one part of that time of preaching that in the Parkview, whatever it was, high school, where he turned his back. Yeah. Remember, he turned his back and he's looking out this way and he's calling people out this way. Well, that was God showing us that God was here. Right. Not that Brother Branham was God, but that God was here. Right. Using him to show us where we're living. And that was in 1965, February, right before he went off the scene about 10 months later. Now that brings us to pass today, because we have faith. And I know this is of God, it's because this and other scriptures point to this hour. Revelation 10 said, in the hour of the seventh angel's message, when he begins to sound forth his message, not in a healing service. I'm telling you what he said. Not in a healing service, but the message that follows the healing service. Because see, this is what happened. I know none of you remember the first message I preached in this church in November of 1998 or 99. I preached a message, first message I ever preached, and I brought the parallel with Brother Branham and Jesus Christ. Most of you thought I was talking about Brother Branham because their ministry is so close. And it's got to be close. It's the ministry of Jesus Christ. But look what happened. Jesus went forth and preached. He healed the sick and everything. Oh, that young rabbi, that prophet, he's a great fella. Brother Branham, he's a great guy. You got to get him in here. Bring, 10,000 people and we're going to see a miracle. We want him in our church. But one day he stood and said, I and my Father are one. They didn't want him no more. When Brother Brown preached the seals, he said thousands of my friends. When he preached marriage and divorce, he said thousands of my friends will go away from me. He stood alone at the end of his message. Why? Because nobody understood him. And it wasn't for them. That part of that message was not for those people in that age. That was not their box. Their box was coming. It's here. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. He didn't explain it. Said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. Why, I imagine them doctors and nurses said, this fellow's a vampire trying to get us to drink his blood. See, they didn't understand it. He knowed it. So did Brother Branham. But them disciples. Look at me. But them disciples. Oh, it's not a one-man show anymore. Huh? And it, to me, it's not a show. But it's not a one-man doctrine anymore, a one-man message. It was at one time. But them disciples, they might not have been able to explain it. But they sat there and believed it anyhow, amen, for it was revealed to them. Yes, sir, they know that the scriptures had declared it. Listen, you didn't have to tell the Apostle Paul not to eat Jesus' flesh and drink his blood. He knew the revelation behind that. Peter knew the revelation behind that. You and I know the revelation behind it. That's why, as this thing gets closer to the end, we're not going to be popular people. Even in the message, you're not going to be popular people. Because you're going to speak a language that a lot of people don't know. Excuse me. They noted the scriptures had declared it. 1 Thessalonians 4. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we, remember I told you a couple weeks ago, God showed me a scripture. This scripture right here is to no one but you and I. No one. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Let's stop right there. Paul was prophesying. He never saw this. He's telling the vision. He saw a vision. He didn't know who it was, but he saw a vision. He didn't know it was Donnie Fallbush. You know what I said the other day about Brother Branham seeing this third part of the seventh seal open up in an unknown language? Why? He didn't know what it was. He didn't know who was sitting here. He didn't know anybody, a certain group of people, but somebody did. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. What was the shout? We've heard it. What was the voice? We've heard it. And we're waiting on the voice of the archangel, which is what? Like Brother Dale said this morning. What is the voice of the archangel? Brother Branham said that was the resurrection. The resurrection angel. And where Brother Dale said this morning, Brother Branham said, where's the resurrection at? Oh, it's out yonder somewhere. It's in a book. What did I just say? It's in you.
Right.
So you are a total recipient of this scripture right here. You're going to hear and be participating in all three. The voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. Where's the trumpet going to sound? Toot, 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 toot. We're going to have to call the Philadelphia Philharmonica Orchestra to come out here, or the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. That'd be kind of strange. To what? There we go with the external. You say, oh, that must be. Somebody's going to shout. Somebody's going to have a voice. And we're going to hear a trump. Where is it going to come from? You! It's going to come from you! And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we. I circled that in my Bible. We, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, comfort each other with these words. But you know, Paul just kind of, not to be sacrilegious, but that's a little vague. It says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. But we had a prophet with some high definition visions to tell us exactly how that's going to happen. We're going to go to a wedding supper for 3.5 years. And then we're going to what? Come back in a millennium. And we're going to live 1,000 years in the millennium. And then we're going to be taken off the earth. And God's going to wipe this whole thing off. And there's going to be a future home come down that's made for me and you. Brother Brown took all them scriptures and put them together where Paul didn't. Paul just said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He really didn't explain the specifics. You know why? It wasn't time for it. But now it's time for it. It's time that you and I know every move that God makes. You should know it. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. For 2,000 years, they've been doing that. Comforting each other. But we've come to a place now where we're not going to comfort each other with those words. We're going to live them. We're going to be that word made manifest. Look at number 6. Real quick. I may not get finished, but you know what? That's okay. In Sabina Canyon, he said, this is the third pull. Now, there's three great things that goes with it. One unfolded today or yesterday. The other one unfolded today, and there's one I cannot interpret because it's in an unknown language. But I was standing right there and looking right straight at it, and this is the third pull coming up. What is the third pull? The third pull is the opening of the Word. It's not a tent vision. It's not all these other things people want to say it is. It's the revealing of the Word, revealing Christ. Christ in you and where He's at. He's in you. All right? That's all reason, the reason all heaven was silent. You know why is there something going on so great in their silence? It's a total secret. It's a secret. Listen. Eleazar took Rebekah by the hand and told her about Isaac. Told her every move, everything he liked, everything he didn't like. He told her how he looked, how he walked, what his mannerism was. He told her all that. So that when Rebekah was in a field riding on a camel, and I'm sure they wasn't just one man standing out in that field. There was probably a bunch of servants and people standing out there in the field. But Eliezer had told Rebekah a vision and made that vision so real that she looked and she said, there he is. But now remember Eliezer, his work was done. It three's a crowd when you go to the honeymoon. Okay? I hope you realize that one day. Three's a crowd when you go to honeymoon. Why? Eliezer stepped off the scene because he had taught, he done his job. Brother Brown done his job. He introduced, he said, I now call you bride. Right. And now, bride, I want you to take this message. Yeah. And it's going to be a secret. It's not going to be some great denomination. We're not going to have this great big move of God anymore. Right. It's going to be a secret. Because yes.
Right.
Eliezer probably told other people about Isaac. And it really didn't click. But remember, he said, whatever woman walks up to this well and feeds, asks me to feed my camel. What? One woman.
Amen.
He went looking for one woman.
Amen.
And he found her.
Glory.
Because he had asked God. He said, God, I got to get somebody for Isaac. And I got to get her ready. And I got to introduce her to Isaac. But I know once I introduce her to Isaac, I got to step off the scene. My job is finished. But what happened was, truth be known, whatever Eliezer told Rebekah became a part of Rebekah. Became a part of Rebekah because what Rebekah did is when she looked and saw him, what? Eliezer's voice was in the back of her head. He's got this kind of walk. He's got this kind of talk. He's got this kind of mannerism. She had to be told by somebody what Christ looked like and what mannerisms he would have. Same way with Mordecai. Mordecai and, you know, I love to preach on, I hadn't done it in a long time, but on Esther. Now, wasn't Mordecai and Esther and the king in the chamber? But Mordecai, what? Nurtured her. Here, do this, do that, do this, present this, do that. Then they had all the chamberlains around, chamberlings around her, telling her he likes this, he likes that. Preachers. Listen, we got a vision.
Right.
I told the church last Sunday, I said, my vision is to present a wife to Christ, not a bride. Because I know, listen, I just want to tell you this. I'm not a salvation preacher. You should know that. I don't try to get people to come to the altar. But I know my position. I want to take somebody that's already a bride. Somebody's got to do it. That's already a bride. And teach her how to be a wife. But now there is other people in the fivefold ministry. Brother Bob, Brother Aaron, Brother Louise. Brother Dale, he fulfills them all. They'll preach you, but it's not my makeup. You know that, because I don't have a pull to bring people to the altar. I want you to get it in your seat. Amen. I want you, because remember, a mature wife will.
That's right.
A mature wife will know exactly what God wants at any point in time. But it's going to be a secret. Why is it going to be a secret? Because remember, this thing is honing down. Not two organizations, not two numbers, not two thousands. God had a great church one time. The founding church of Christianity was 12 people.
Right.
And that's as many people as we have on our stage if they're all there playing music. 12 people. But you know what? They all had the Holy Ghost. They all had power under that first church age. Everybody okay? But this all was a threefold mystery. But let's go to number 9, brother, and we'll stop right here. We know what the threefold part, everything is in a, listen, your new birth's in a threefold manner. Justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. So everything God does is in threefold. Remember, the sixth seal opened in a threefold manner. Remember that?
Right.
The seventh seal opened in a threefold manner. And then he comes to Christ, the mystery God revealed, and he said, now if you're missing the seals, come back to this message.
Right.
This message is not Jesus Christ is the mystery of God revealed. It's Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Going right back to revealing Christ.
Amen.
All right? Because remember, you're not Jesus. But you are Christ. You can't be Jesus Christ. You can be Mrs. Jesus Christ, but you can't be Jesus Christ. He's one person. But you can be Christ. Because it's revealing Christ. And where is he? He's in you. All right? Now look, now God has had a threefold purpose in this great mystery secret. Now what was a great mystery secret? All God was, he poured into Christ, Christ in the church. We're going to read it. God in his great mystery secret that he had before the world, fixing to tell us the vision. Fixing to tell us the vision. Some of you are watching the vision at the back of your eyelids. God in his great mystery secret that he had before the world began. Plan and purpose, going to see it come to pass. God in his great mystery secret that he had before the world began, he's got a threefold purpose in it. So the whole purpose is these three things he's fixing to tell us right here. And now what we want to go upon this morning is what is that threefold purpose? Now, I believe by the help of God, now look how confident Brother Branham is, who is present. Can you say that today?
Amen.
Who is present? And he'll show it to us. Now, did God come down and say, okay, I'm the second person of a Trinity. Here I am. I'm going to tell. He revealed it right through that little man called William Branham. Amen. Now, if he had this threefold purpose, we want to find out what is this threefold purpose. First thing was that God wanted to reveal himself to the people. He couldn't do it as great Jehovah who covered all space, time, and eternity. He could not. He's too great to ever be revealed to people. Now, if he'd have stopped right there, we would have all been in bad shape. But he kept going. Because it would be too mysterious. How could that great being that never did begin? We're going to put it back together in a minute, though. Never did begin that after you went beyond the cycle of hundreds, billions, trillions of years of light space. Infinity, that's eternal, the great creature that was all that and still is. But what he wanted to do, he loved fatherhood. He was a father, and the only way he could express it was to become a son of man. And what is a son of man? Word made flesh. All right? That is the reason Jesus kept saying the son of man. See, they didn't know what he was talking about, many of them. But now you get it. Congregation says amen. He wanted to express himself. That was his, one of his great threefold purposes was to express himself, identify himself with human beings, to reveal himself in Christ. Second, to have the preeminence in his body of believers, that is his bride, that he might live in people. Not with people, in people. All right, keep going. When I think of it, I just see denominations pass off the scene and everything else going, see? When I see God's great purpose revealing himself and having first to reveal himself in Christ. Not in a Trinity, not in a... in Christ. The trueness. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then to bring that fullness of the Godhead bodily partly into a people. That's not what he said. And then to bring that fullness of Godhead bodily into a people.
Glory.
That he can have the preeminence, is the oversight, the leading. A people, not one person. A people. We're a many-membered body. We can't get away from that. All right, let's go to the next one. First, to express himself completely, God in Christ. Second, to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is his body, the bride.
Amen.
Till he can have the preeminence to express himself
right.
Through them.
Amen.
Through them.
Right.
Not through him.
Amen.
Through them.
Amen.
And thirdly, to restore the kingdom. Look at me. To restore the kingdom.
Glory.
To its rightful position. Everything right back together.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, there was a little bit of time gap where there was some sin come in. But you know what? It didn't change these two pieces of paper.
Right.
This is a piece of paper, and so is this.
Right.
It never changed. We just lost the way. Remember, I told you, Brother Branham tells us that Jesus didn't come to bring us an inheritance.
Right.
He didn't. I've read that quote 100 times. He came to what? Bring us back to our inheritance. Yeah, we lost it. I about lost it then. But to bring us back to our inheritance, because remember, our inheritance was what? This piece of paper. It just got tore apart. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm going to bring it back together. But what happened was, right in here somewhere, man started dealing in it. And it started doing this. And there's no way... false doctrines does this. So we had to have a prophet come to give us clarity so that it'll fit right back. And you know what? I tore that and it'll never be able to put back right. But you know what? God can. God's going to put that thing right back together. Thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin by the first Adam back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, fellowshipped with them.
Amen.
Brother Branham calls you bride back in 1963
right.
At the opening of the seals. That narrows it down, taking it from a church down to a bride.
Right. Glory.
Because remember, he'd used church and bride all down through there.
Sure.
But now, he even says here, he corrects himself by this in his church, this is 1963, right after the seals, which is his body, the bride. Not just the church. Listen, if you're not born again, you're not in the body.
Right.
You're not part of the body if you're not born again.
Right.
Okay, so the bride is part of his body.
Right.
Yeah. And listen, you and I will be made known, like I said before, by this right here, not by external.
Right.
It'll become everything internal. It's got to come in here first, sure. You got to hear it external.
Yeah.
You got to hear it. But if it stays up here, it's just intellect. But if it'll drop down to right here in that center part and let that button continue to grow. I don't think I have any more. Is that all the quotes? I think it is, maybe. is there one more? I've lost my page. If not, that's it. They shut me down. So anyway, but all God was, he poured into Christ.
Right.
Now, where's Christ? Christ is in you. God has told us now where he's at.
All right.
But now, not just to finish that, but what's inside of you is going to take you back
right.
to before the fall.
Amen.
I came from God, and I'm going back to God. I came from the eternal mind of God, and I honestly tell you this with all sincerity. God didn't just think of me. He thought of Adolf Hitler. He thought of Judas Iscariot. He thought of sinners. But the literal part of me that's working today inside of me is his mind. You say, oh, that's too strong. No, I don't think that's strong enough. Because remember, one time that vision had to either become a reality or it was already a reality. God don't just, you understand what I'm saying? God don't just make up things. No. He had a vision, a plan and a purpose, and he saw you in it. If he knew you would sit here and listen and become bride, he knew that. So what is that? That's not a second person.
Right.
Remember, this is a piece of paper. And this is the piece of paper. It's not paper and plastic.
Right.
If you're born again today, you always were eternal.
Right. Amen.
You always were eternal. There's not a day that you weren't when that part of you is the eternal part of God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. What's next, Brother Wade? What's next? I just told you what was next. Take us back to the Garden of Eden.
Glory.
Have a body change and a resurrection. We've got to get the saints out of the ground first. We got to hear that voice. Musicians come. Got to hear that voice. But that voice is going to come from inside of you. The Bible tells us there's no weapon formed against us that'll prevail. You know what that is? There's no weapon. There's no weapon formed. There's no external force that'll ever take you down. But there is an internal force that will take you down if you don't get born again. If you don't sit under the Word of God and listen, there'll be an internal force will take you down. But thank God that we've had a prophet bring us a message. And that you and I are able to read it in our own language. Don't need an interpretation. We got all 1,100 sermons. We understand every one of them. Not like some people overseas in different places. They have a hard time interpreting. And then some of them don't have but a couple of hundred books. Listen, we got the whole thing. Well, now they're doing better, but used to. But I tell you, them people in those foreign countries, they're sincere. And you get one that's a good one, he knows. Because you know what? God's not going to say, well, now I'm going to reveal it all to the Americans. No, you know what? We are under condemnation worse than they are. Because God sent us a prophet to our homeland in our own voice, in our own dialect, Southern. So we can understand him. And then we still reject it or turn it down or make it into something else. That's why America's going to get it before anybody else does. It's because we rejected. Not we, us, but America has rejected. But you know what? America's rejecting you. America's rejecting you. We are a rejected and despised group of people, and it's going to get worse. Because remember I told you, our downfall, listen, I'm going to tell you this and I ain't going to say no more. Our downfall is not what they're doing in Jeffersonville. Our downfall is what we put up with. Our downfall is what we let in. Our downfall is what we do and don't do. Don't come to church, don't read our Bible, don't study, don't do the things of God. It's our problem, not their problem. Amen. So whatever you want to take that any way you want to, that's not going to harm me or help me. But I know one thing's for sure. If you stay in Christ, He'll keep you in this word. And it'll never fail. It'll do exactly what it said it would do. And no external force, no external happening is going to make you bride or not bride. It's what happens inside. You become bride from the inside and let it work its way out. Amen. Let's sing a song. God bless your
Greater
heart.
Greater is He that is in me with 360.
Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. Satan's like a roaring lion running. And I promise you, when you get up in the morning on Monday, He'll be right there. But you know what? No external force. He can't harm you, Brother Brown said. If Satan bothers you, it means you went out to where he's at. Stay behind the word. This is how it all got started right here. Oh, on the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind, it came into the upper room and baptized all of them. Listen now. With a power greater than any external foe. And I'm so glad that's it for me as far as the seals. So that's summed the whole thing up. All God was, He poured into Christ. All Christ, He poured into me and you. And He's taking us back to the Garden of Eden. He's taking us back past where there was sin. But, here's the but part. But somebody's got to come to a place of perfection. Be Christians if you want to, and you can shout like you did this morning when Brother Dale said being a baby. Listen, I don't mind being a baby. I don't want to stay a baby, though. It'd be malnourished for Sterling to, well, anyway, to go to his mom and daddy's house and say, Mama, I need you to change my diaper at 24, 22, 23. There'd be something wrong with that picture. But now Sterling's grown up. I've seen him come from diapers to now. Most of us have. Boy, his face is red now. But that's the way God is, though. God don't want us to stay babies. He's telling us to grow up. You're already, you know, Sterling was a helm when he was born. When he came out crying, he was a helm. He was born in the family. Can't deny it. No way. Genetically, he cannot deny it. Why can't it be the same way that when we're birthed as Christians, the world can't deny? The world can't deny who our Father is. The world can't deny where we come from. Oh yeah, well, we got all these things. Yeah, well, we got all these things. But you know what? Don't stay babies. Don't be happy being a baby. Please don't. You know what? Because that makes you lazy. To just say, oh well, I'm born again. Brother Dale said I was born again and everything's fine. I like being a baby. I don't. And you don't either. How many of you Oh, please. I don't want to be a baby. Even Brother Branham said, if I could turn back time, I wouldn't go back to being that. That puts you in another time, another period. We're in this age right here to be a mature Christian. Somebody that's grown up and ate the right kind of food. I don't want to be a baby. I liked being a baby, but you know what? I don't have a lot of memory of being a baby, naturally. And you know what? Even spiritually, if you've been in this thing a long time, yeah, there's some things that you... But I need an updated revelation. I need God to speak to me, adult to adult. Now, He will speak adult to baby, but only just for a little while, because I'm telling you, you can grieve God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. I read it. Whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. Brother Branham, in the adoption series, he said the Holy Ghost comes back to the Father and says, oh, this one is just like you. But now remember, he also said the Holy Ghost goes back to the Father and says, this one ain't doing so well. Right? You decide that. He don't. You decide that. You decide how far you want to go. If you want to stay a baby, that's okay. We'll say ashes to ashes, dust to dust over your grave. But I don't want to do that. I want us to walk off this world, off this earth, and not have to look into death. I don't want to do that. And I don't want you to do that. I want you to strive to be a wife of Jesus Christ. Not a bride. Be a wife. Grow up. No. Brother Branham says, and I'll read it next time we come together. I think I've already got it. She has His potentials. She is Him. She has His potential. What is His potential? Hey, listen. Jesus Christ was a natural baby. And He had to come through natural things. But He was always God. He was always God. If you realize that, then you, this little thing called life and time and all these things that we go through, pretty much nothing. Because remember, all God sees is your piece of paper and His piece of paper. And He's bringing it right back together to where that thing will come back to an eternity. And remember this again. This is two pieces of paper. This is one piece of paper that was torn apart by us, and God's putting that one piece of paper back together. It's not paper and plastic. So that way you can see where you came from. Let me do this and we'll close. Where you came from, what you're doing here, because that's the part where my head is, what you're doing here and where you're going to. This doesn't change. Eternal doesn't change. Position changes. You're in this position here. We know where we came from. We know what we're doing here. And we know what we're going back to. Thank God for that. God bless you. Let's sing that on the day of Pentecost one more time. You want to sing something else? You sing whatever you want to.
Sing,
I'm not the song leader. You sing it.
You thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you clean me up inside.
We pray that God will give you a good week. That He'll protect you.
And so you sacrificed your life.
And then we'll come back Wednesday. Ready to hear from the Word of God. Pray for Brother Royal and the ones that are not here. Pray for them. Pray for the ones that are not here. Pray for Brother Boyd. For that kidney stone that he don't have anymore. Amen. Pray for each other. Because you know what? We need each other. Don't put yourself on an island. We depend on each other because you know what? We're herd animals. Lambs only die. Tell them, Brother Howell, lambs or sheep only die when they separate themselves from the herd. Because that's what the lion looks for. He looks for one separated. He looks for one over here. What? He don't want to fight them all. He wants to find one. Don't separate. Brother Brown said, bind yourself closer together. as the day approaches. Come to church, read your Bible, study. Pray for each person that's here. You don't have to call them by name. Listen, we're a body, so pray for the body. Pray for each one. We've all got things that we need prayer for. We all got things that we need. We have needs, but God knows them, and He knows how to deal with them. Amen? Love the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that You would be with us as we continue our journey. Thank You for allowing us to come into this building and be covered by Your Word. Lord, we pray that everyone in this building would receive a little shot of rejuvenation, that we'll all live a little closer to You, Father, that we'll count the things that as though they are not, like Abraham, not worrying about the external things. Abraham could have used a lot of things to not come to that promise, but he said, You're God, and You'll make that promise come to pass. So God, I know You're God, and I know You're going to make the promises come to pass. For our children that are not saved, for our fathers, mothers, husbands, brothers, sisters, wives, every one of us need prayer, Father. We pray that You would just be with us now. Take care of us, lead us and guide us, bind together closer to You, Father. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And as the wheels turn going home, may we be singing, Only Believe, All Things Are Possible. Thank You, Father, for giving us the new birth, for giving us a chance to learn more about You. There's a lot of people in this world who never get a chance to even know You, Lord, much less know more about You. But Lord, You've gave us the open book. We live and preach and breathe by the open book, that everything has been given to this little bride to make her a wife. And I pray that You would just do that. Father, raise us up as Brother Dale starts preaching on the statue of perfect man. Maybe this, Lord, I pray maybe this the last round that we have to take before we go to that body change, before the resurrection, that this last push, there'll be one great push, one great anointing before this thing takes over and the world turns into chaos. But Lord, You told us through a little prophet that You're going to come and get us before that happens, and that we'll not be part of that. Father, we pray that You would just be with us now and take care of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.